Hey friends, hi again, and we are working on Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 81, Section A. We've been working in Libra. Excuse my the image here, this perfect fourth ray image, but I have quite a light window to my immediate left, so there's nothing I can do about that until the sun changes its position. I have only one place from which to offer these commentaries. In any case, we've been talking about the problem of sex in relation to Libra and in relation to Taurus and Scorpio. And we have seen that its solution will have to be multifaceted and must draw upon many contributors from diverse areas, science, medicine, psychology, spirituality, with the hope that the more developed people, the intelligentsia, aspirants, disciples, etc., can bring their perspective to bear on the solution of this problem. It will be the united result, it will be the result, he says, of the united activity of the spiritually minded consciousness of these people, the judicial attitude, because the courts and lawmakers will get into the act, but they cannot solve it alone, the intellectual perception and the steady urge of the evolutionary process. Nothing can prevent the inevitability of the solution and the appearance of desirable attitudes and conditions wherein sex can find its right expression. Well, we have today the most undesirable attitudes, so many of them at this time. And I wonder, you know, what DK would say today about the tremendous spread of pornography over the media and internet and so forth. He has said something to the effect that the problem had reached a kind of peak at the time he was writing, but in 80 years, I think perhaps it has grown even worse. There is really a misunderstanding as to the purpose and the function of sex in the larger evolutionary scheme. So it really does require the spiritual understanding, the attitude of those who can see what the destiny of man is meant to be, what man's place on this planet is, and what evolution can be when spiritual attitudes are adopted and spiritual knowledge enters the consciousness. There's no one solution, and elsewhere he speaks of this problem in terms of the impossibility that hierarchy has at the time of knowing where it will end. So he calls the present condition chaotic and unintelligent, and that it is an important problem. And he looks at all the different ways in which it is incorrectly handled. Wrong sexual habits, prostitution, homosexuality, perverted mentality, unwholesome imagination, narrow-minded Christian suppression, the guilt complex, diseased bodies, oversexed and undersexed physical bodies. All these things have contributed to the present chaotic condition, and as we may know from our studies, the sin against the Holy Spirit, against the third aspect of divinity, is considered the worst. So there we have a real problem. And I sometimes wonder whether the extremes, the extreme points of view, which are fighting with each other at this time, don't both have some sort of value to bring to the problem. The solution lies not in the extremes of license or suppression. It doesn't lie with a wholesale expenditure of the sexual energy for no good purpose. It doesn't lie with moralistic suppression, which is rarely obeyed anyway, even by those who pronounce it. Somewhere in the central path, so interestingly ruled by Libra, the sign which must bring its perspective to this solution, somewhere in relation to the central path, the real multifaceted solution lies. And the multifaceted nature of the solution draws on many different sources, interestingly corresponding to the presently powerful third ray of Libra. Okay. Now, excuse me, we can go on to the new part of the text. What I'm basically doing here, you know, I'm reflecting with you. I'm pondering these things. I guess that's how the second ray works to a certain extent. It creates habitations for various ideas, creates thoughts which are habitations, and I've been studying this material a long time, maybe 50 years, all in all. And I'm simply offering you my reflections, the thoughts that come to mind. You know, as I say, if I were writing this out, for which there is no longer time, the right word might be chosen more often, more frequently. Here, this is a bit of a spontaneous sharing. And I hope it has some value. It's different from reading a textbook in which the conclusions are succinctly stated, very clearly stated. It's more a sharing of impressions. And if there is time to listen to some of this, then this sharing may generate certain ideas and perspectives which may not have existed before or may not have existed as fully. Libra, as you know, governs the legal profession and holds the balances between so-called right and wrong, according to man-made laws, I suppose, but also according to the divine laws, if one can understand what they are. It holds the balances between so-called right and wrong, between negative and positive, and also between the East and West. So if we hope for the union of these, Libra, like the fourth ray, giving us the possibility of this union. So, yes, giving us the possibility of the union of the opposites. Yes. What I'd like to do is make sure my brackets are correct. Okay. So the legal profession, which is helping society establish a code of values by which everyone must abide, because these values have been institutionalized as law. First, of course, we have man-made law, and it is meant, in its best expressions, to be a representation of as much of the divine law as we can fathom or intuit. So East and West certainly must meet. The hemispheres of the brain must each play their part. The male and female aspects within everybody must play their part. Libra seems to adjudicate between the opposites, something that is accomplished here on Earth, interestingly. Graduates of our Earth school are called adjudicators between the pairs of opposites. Libra is becoming more and more powerful in the planetary horoscope at this time, and it brings the possibility of the balance between the extremes. Right now, we have the United States with this Gemini personality, highly polarized, and perhaps reflecting a type of polarization which is occurring within humanity as a whole. There is no real attempt to work towards compromise and the best values. People are inclined to emphasize their point of view only, which is certainly partial, incomplete, leaving out all the spiritual value of the other person's point of view. Admittedly, it may be difficult to see it at some times, but the attitude which attempts to see the value of the apparent opponent's point of view is one that can lead towards harmonization within the field of humanity and towards peace, rather than the wars of idealism and of acquisition according to the justifications which those ideals provide. We, espousing a particular ideal, are entitled to this, entitled to that, and you are not. And so we feel self-justified to tread upon the rights of others. Now, Libra is the sign which does protect, in reasonable fairness, the rights of others. It is essentially an altruistic sign when the second ray aspect of it is shining through. Constellationally, I do believe, although the third ray is said to express through it, there are many hints that the second ray is prominent. And when we call the Christ the Prince of Peace, and we speak of the Spirit of Peace under Libra, I think, we're talking about second ray energy and not third ray energy. So, adjustment. This last point of adjustment may seem to you to be a meaningless phrase, but when the true and right relationship is established between the Orient and the Occident, between the 4-3 of the Orient and the 2-4 of the Occident, soul ray, personality ray, which is not yet the case, it will come about through the activity of Libra and the work of the legal profession in a planetary sense, a larger sense than has presently been possible. Now, you know, I'm looking at such countries as, countries like China with its Libran personality, third ray Libran personality. What an emphasis, as Libra already brings so much of the third ray, so the business acumen is certainly there. I think Canada is involved in that. We'd have to look at all the different Libran countries that exist, and we'd have to see how they could play into this adjustment between the East and the West. It is kind of a loop here. It can be a magnetic harmonizing figure eight loop, which draws the Orient and the Occident together in terms of mutual interest. I think through the business community it's already happening with respect to China, even though there are fears and mistrust, but still the right steps are being taken in some respects, because if countries draw together economically, they tend, interestingly, not to want to destroy each other or impair each other through enlightened self-interest, as it is called. Libra has been the sponsor of the law. It's such a Saturnian sign, with the hierarchical ruler being Saturn and the exalted ruler being Saturn. Maybe Saturn is stronger in no other sign, most strong in Libra. The sponsor of the law, perhaps the upholder of the law, not necessarily the enforcer of the law. We also need that other Saturnian sign, Capricorn, to bring in enforcement with Mars exalted and Saturn ruling. Legislation has hitherto been engrossed with the enforcing of those negotiations and those attitudes of fear which have been preserved for us in the Mosaic Code. hence it has much of Capricorn in it. Moses being associated, I think, not only with the sign Aries, but with the sign Capricorn, as he is identified with the illumination on the mountaintop. So it's been engrossed. That means it's been trammeled by the lower energies. It has not been free and expressing itself in the realm of the higher energies. It's been engrossed in the material worlds and forcing, it's negations. Glad I could see that. Enforcing those negations and those attitudes of fear. Thou shalt not. It's such a Saturnian attitude. It's not about what thou shalt. That came in perhaps more with Christianity, although in some of the commandments there is the implication of thou shalt. Honor thy father and thy mother, for instance, that thy days may be long upon the land, and so forth. So, we've been given the Mosaic code to prevent those infractions which absolutely would destroy society, but only in certain other perspectives have we been given the positive demands which will help society harmonize and grow and flourish and reflect the soul. So legislation has hitherto been engrossed with the enforcing of those negations and those attitudes of fear. Saturn is concerned with that as well, and so is Mars, which have been preserved for us in the Mosaic Code and imposed through the medium of punishment or infringement. And there are certain of the groups which really seek to punish. We can say, I think, Buddhism is not a religion which seeks to punish. It leaves it to the law of karma, pretty much. But the Mosaic religions, the Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, they are much concerned with meting out punishment for infringement against the law. And sometimes this is becoming absolutely outrageous in the modern age when considering what the civilized man is supposed to be. But we have to realize that not all people in the world are civilized in that sense. People are at many different levels, many different, what do they call them, memes, assigned various colors. They do not have the same illumined consciousness, the same values, they are differently polarized, and so punishment is considered to be a great inhibition, which will prevent the repeating of a particular infraction. But of course, the enlightened consciousness, the disillusioned consciousness, also prevents repetition in a more civilized manner. And karma, the good law, wielded by far superior beings, will see to whatever educative punishment or adjustment may be needed to bring the lesson home. So this has been a probably, not necessarily, but probably necessary stage for child races. So I guess he considers in a way the ancient Hebrews who received these commandments to be kind of a child race, and for the preservation of a nursery regime for men. In other words, a few fundamentals have been reinforced. That it's not a code of law for truly mature people and for spiritually civilized people. But mankind, he says, is reaching maturity, and a different interpretation of the purposes and intents of Libra through the medium of law is now required. Something more light-filled more filled with understanding, more compassionate, firm but compassionate, something which tells us something true about the nature of the system in which we are living, the spiritual system in which we are living. Law, the evolution of law, must go hand in hand with enlightened education and even spiritual education. I do hope HBB is correct about the necessity for occultism to win the day by the end of the 21st century. She did express it slightly differently, but I interpret that as the 21st century. The law must become the custodian, okay, the guardian, because laws do guard humanity, natural laws and spiritual laws and even man-made laws. The law must become the custodian of a positive righteousness and not simply the instrument of enforcement. We must affirm that which should be done. Affirmation of that which should be done. And we have this in some ways through the rules and commandments of the Yoga Sutras, written down apparently by someone we consider the first Patanjali. Who knows if he was the first, but some 10,000 years ago. We have what we must do, and we have that from which we must abstain. And there must be an understanding that the spiritual system in which we are expressing our life, living our life, has its own laws and will take care inevitably of the enforcement without human viciousness, revenge, hatred being applied as if it were the true enforcer, the true custodian of the law. Such an excuse for the negative tendencies of a human being to claim that they are working on behalf of the law when they are rather seeking their own satisfaction of an unholy kind. But of course this takes some psychology to understand, and there are so many people in the world who are still very poor psychologists. They haven't lived long enough. They haven't had enough personal experience to know themselves. DK spoke to a man who had a strong sixth and third ray, and he told him that he was a very poor psychologist. I think sometimes when the sixth ray is present and the third together, it's very different from that excellent psychological combination, the second and fourth. Just as we are attempting to eliminate force out of our national relationships, this was said before the Second World War, but the attempt was there, with the Great Goodwill Initiative of 1936, and just as it is obvious today that the process of drastic penalties has not succeeded in preventing crime or in deterring people from violent selfishness, for that is what crime is, excellent definition, violent selfishness. So the promise of punishment is only an inadequate deterrent. It may deter some, but it certainly doesn't solve the attitude which seeks to express itself through violent selfishness. I think statistics have shown that the drastic penalties just don't work. And just as the social attitude, in contradistinction to the anti-social position of all lawbreakers, you see how that works in relation to Libra. Libra, the most social sign, perhaps. Mars, the tendency to break the law, in detriment in Libra. Saturn, the tendency, the inclination to enforce the law, so powerful in Libra. So Mars seeks to break what Saturn puts in place. the Aries attitude, the law-breaking attitude, Uranian attitude, breaking unjust laws and poor conditioning. It's not necessarily wrong to break man-made laws. It depends on the quality of the laws and how and to the extent they enforce, reinforce divine laws. So just as the social attitude, in contradistinction to the antisocial attitude, is being regarded as desirable and taught in our schools, I suppose undergrowing Venus, wouldn't you say? Libran Venus, and even Venus, strong in Aquarius, ruler of the brotherly love decanate, so it is beginning to dawn upon the public consciousness that the inculcation of right relations, this is the whole thing about right relations, right human relations, is so Libran, is very Libran, and the spread of self-control under Saturn, quite different from Aries, where Saturn is falling, and the spread of self-control and the growth of unselfishness, and these surely are the goals, subjective and oft unrealized, of all legal procedure, are the needed approach to the young. So he's telling us how education should proceed. It's quite different from carrying pistols into the classroom. Think of this, of the violence even in the classroom today. Things are out of control, and the violent selfishness is asserting itself through also violent and antisocial groups, gangs, and so forth. But, you know, if we have predatory financial groups, they can cause just as much and really far more damage than some of these reactive and outwardly violent groups. Selfishness is the problem. Selfishness is initially overcome to a significant degree at the second initiation, which in a way opposes Venus, Jupiter, and Neptune to Mars. Mars, the planet of assertive selfishness, even the planet of violent selfishness. There's so much going on in our world which is telling us in our world Venus must rise and Mars be subdued and tamed. Mars the personality, Venus the soul. And as I've said, when we have this question of the balance between masculine and feminine, the tremendous assertion of the masculine point of view, as if it were God's will, is not in keeping with the times, with the needs of the times, not in keeping with the emergence of the soul. Just to see how we're doing here. Yes. Everything seems to be in order. Okay. There are so many little technical things to take care of that one can be talking for quite a long time and find that one has recorded nothing, which is a sad realization. The influence of Libra should be imposed in childhood along spiritual lines. It's kind of interesting that the word imposition is used. Of course, Saturn is one of the planets of imposition, along with Vulcan and perhaps Pluto, and Mars certainly will attempt to force its will on others, as will the lower Plutonian tendency. But Libra is the socializing sign, and thank goodness, along with the coming fourth ray, that it is growing in the planetary horoscope. Libra, the socializing sign. So interesting, there are people who are violently, idealistically against socialism. They've seen many abuses, perhaps in communist China, the early China after the Second World War, and they've seen this in Soviet Russia. I guess you can call it socialism, arising as a something thought up by humanity, whereas democracy, we're told, is related to hierarchy and monarchy to Shambhala. But we haven't, you know, the Aquarius is a socializing sign. It is a sign of a meritocratous socialization. Meritocracy and socialism can go together. The values of those who promote individual initiative and think it completely incompatible with caring for your neighbor, those values can be incorporated in an enlightened socialistic system. But of course, this means that people really must, under Libra, begin to care for each other and must consider each other as parts of a whole. That is far from the case, because selfishness controls, and even violent selfishness, which is disguised by sophisticated methods. So the golden rule is found in Libra, that to do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and it appears in so many of the world religions. It is a rule, Saturn, which demands a loving relationship, right human relationships based on love, and even right interkingdom relationships. And this, in the forthcoming air sign age, inviting in the other air signs as well, will become very important. Venus, I think, is asserting its influence upon the Earth. It certainly was involved in the individualization process long ago, and now we're coming to a point where initiation becomes possible, and the Prince of Peace, the Christ, in a way a very Venusian being and also a Neptunian being, is going to play such a large role in elevating humanity. The culture of Venus, in the higher sense, including the higher aspects of the fifth ray, is to be accepted by humanity. And in a way, in the Aquarian age, because the majority of human beings will enter the sign from 30 to 20, they will enter a decanate ruled by Venus, and although there are many weaknesses which may result, the principle of love, however interpreted, will be strong. We simply have to find ourselves a method of getting through the next couple of decades, maybe just the next decade and a half, which promises to re-evoke the conflicting attitudes of Mars. Conflicted attitudes, something which just doesn't fit in the nuclear age. If you take a look at Mars, aggression, and Uranus, Pluto, atomic energy, you see the potential for destruction. So Venus can neutralize this. The influence of Libra should be imposed in childhood along spiritual lines. Crime will be stamped out. Sounds rather Vulcanian, doesn't it? I mean, when you put out a fire through the use of the foot or through earth, you're stamping something out, you're not giving it air to breathe. Crime will be stamped out when the environing conditions in which children live are bettered. But right now we have a world with many terrible slums providing the worst type of upbringing for people in developing countries and even in the so-called developed countries. Poor environmental conditions exist. So the bettering of such conditions, when physical attention is given in the early formative years to glandular balance, I suppose it's chakric balance, I suppose it's a balance of activities, without neglect of areas of expression which are needed by the human being. It's a balance between mind, emotions, and body, and also the spiritual tendencies. When physical attention is given in early formative years to glandular balance, as well as to teeth and eyes and ears, it's so concrete. DK is speaking here as the healer, and one of the prominent signs of healing, to eliminate dis-ease, is Libra. So often harmonization and balance are other names for healing. And he's telling us that the Christ has the perfectly balanced glandular system. If we want to be like the Christ, we have to, even in very concrete ways, look to our glandular chakric balance and not allow in children unwholesome pursuits, pursuits which militate against producing integrative wholeness. We have to understand that any addiction to a particular line of expression which ignores other necessary lines of expression will never lead to wholeness and to integration. Also, to right posture, correct feeding, all of these taking care of the physical vehicle, the promptings of which are so often followed. And when these promptings are not wholesome, then there will be the attempt to satisfy partial demands of the instinctual nature and of the perverted emotional mental nature. And when there is also a more proper apportionment of time, how is time spent? Being robbed of time, Master Moria tells us, is equivalent to suicide. If we waste our own time, if we waste the time of another, equivalent to murder. Amazing. Look at all of these requirements. The stamping out of the antisocial attitude. So many physical and personal things have to be brought into a correct balance. And a proper apportionment of time. One thinks here of the Lord of Time, Saturn, and right proportion, Libra. When esoteric psychology and esoteric astrology give their contribution of knowledge to the bringing up of young people, yes, even now, for some young people, this is the case. They have a better idea of who they are, what they have to do, where they came from, what to avoid, what to promote. There has to be a general clearing of consciousness in order for these newer disciplines to take their place as valued in human society. The old methods must give way to the new, and the conservative attitude, I guess, you know, that which seems to conserve the past, which seeks to conserve the past, or in a reactionary manner, reject the future. Excuse me. The old methods must give way to the new, and the conservative attitude must be dropped in favor of religious, psychic, and physical training and experiment, scientifically applied and mystically motivated. What a brilliant view of that which must transpire. And the educators of the New Age, those who have in their care the children who can be reached, are seeing the attentiveness required along a number of lines, a truer method of linking with the divine. The cultivation of sensitivity, which we call psychism, but of the right kind. physical training so that vitality can be sustained and a strong physical base which can support the higher energies is created. An experiment, because one simply doesn't know, it's the Uranian approach. We can find the ways that work through experimentation. All of this applied with clear knowledge scientifically, but oriented towards contact with divine energies, and this we can call mystically motivated. When I say religious, I do not refer to doctrinal or theological teaching. I mean the cultivation of those attitudes and conditions which will evoke reality in man. This is religious. And so many religious approaches today are asserting the unreal. Assert the unreal. The fabrication of ignorant minds full of desire and selfishness. And now these constructs are believed by so many who cannot think through and cannot compare because their experience is insufficient. So I mean the cultivation of those attitudes and conditions which will evoke reality in man. This is the key, because religion really is meant to be an approach to reality, a reception of reality, identification with reality. And the reality we're speaking of here is not strictly of the physical plane. It is the subtle reality, and beyond that, the spiritual reality, and beyond that, the divine reality. I mean the cultivation of those attitudes and conditions which will evoke reality in man, bring the inner spiritual man to the foreground of consciousness, that is, the soul emerging in consciousness, and thus produce the recognition of God immanent, God as man. I guess God within man is one step. A fuller step is God as man, that man really is God, an expression of God, not just a tiny creation of something other, but made of none other but God itself. God transcendent, a belief in God transcendent only, tends to make men cruel, dominating. They seek power, and usually power over others in order to boost their own pitifully small self-conception we call the lower ego. The recognition of God immanent, it's a more second-ray approach. We understand something of it when we follow the mantra, Christ in you, the hope of glory. God in everyone, all are divine. I salute the divinity within you. I recognize it as God, and I recognize you as myself. All of these are more mature positions and require quite a bit of experience in the overcoming of separateness, that great heresy. Through pain, the great heresy of separateness is worn away. So I guess the speed with which we progress has a lot to do with the ways that pain is applied on our very painful planet, a planet with painful process, painful educative process. We sometimes say, if only we could be rid of pain, but then we would not know the law, and the law guides us to fulfillment. It prevents us from wandering off into areas of unfulfillment. And when we come near breaking the law, we experience pain in one way or another, often through conscience, sometimes administered by the law of karma, sometimes administered by human law. But the pain is meant to keep us within the law, And when we function within the law, we progress far more quickly into a state where such pain does not exist. He says, I must write no more along these lines. I've enlarged somewhat upon sex and the judicial system as they are both ruled and conditioned by Libra, and this will be increasingly the case, presumably as the power of Libra grows in the planetary horoscope and the air sign Aquarius comes into power, accompanied by the other two air signs. Liberty, equality, fraternity. Equality under the law. Equal opportunity. These are Libran thoughts. And in a way, the spirit is that which is equal in all. Its demonstration is unequal and hierarchical. The subject is too vast and too important for me to do more than indicate lines of approach. He doesn't want to limit us by what he might say, as he cannot cover the vastness of it. He wants us to think for ourselves, to become better citizens, better human beings in relation to each other, those who can follow the golden rule, those who care for social welfare, not weakness, not creating the culture of dependency, as it has been called, but a caring society filled with relatively independent people, full of individual initiative undertaken on behalf of the welfare of the whole. This is not impossible. It is hierarchical. It is demanded. And it will take some education to bring it about and much pain, I suspect. A cursory handling of the problem is of no real usefulness. I guess he's just said, really, what I've done here is hint. What I've done here is hint at some ways of solving and the needs, what must be created. But we have to work out these methods ourselves, I think. We have enough indications. A cursory handling of the problem is of no real usefulness in this transition period through which the world is now passing, and in this interlude between two activities. We're in it now. That of the Piscean Age, which is passing, and that of Aquarius, which is coming in, Libra will eventually rule. We are in a transitional period, and we have to create those safeguarding laws which will help us make the successful transition into the age of Aquarius. We are in great interlude, which will last until, I would say, 2017, when again Venus transits the face of the sun and the Aquarian age, according to the Tibetan, technically begins. So the two activities, interesting, an age, a processional age, is an activity expressing a certain type of energy and a number of sub-energies, and we are in an overlap period with Piscean energies fading away, though still dangerously noticeable, and Aquarian energies coming in not wisely handled in many cases. You know, the universal life or universal death is an issue, and if we mishandle atomic energy, which is very Aquarian in its nature, we may inaugurate or precipitate an era of universal death. Libra will eventually rule. I guess we have another little more than 100 years in which Libra can rule. And at the end of this century, the 20th century, he says, we'll see the influence of Libra coming into pronounced control and in a position of power in the planetary horoscope, which DK knows about and therefore can relate to the divine plan. There is therefore no need for real anxiety. Maybe just a little anxiety, but no real anxiety. So can we say that law under Libra, better social relations, right consideration of each other globally has come into pronounced control? Well, perhaps they see things that we are not able to see. I cannot say that I think the United Nations has become stronger. In many ways, it seems to have degenerated and become the platform for bias and national agendas, though the work it does, of course, unseen, is tremendous. A position of power in the planetary horoscope. Is Libra now the progressed descendant of our planetary scheme? Is there some ingress of a progressing point, planet, the sun, into the sign Libra? We cannot know what this is. We just have to take this at face value. There will be consequences for antisocial behavior among individuals and antisocial behavior among nations. The World Court does exist. Some of those who are accused of crimes against humanity are brought before the World Court, which is in a way transnational. The transnational perspective does not really hold authority, final authority, over the sovereign rights of nations yet. There's an Aquarius-Leo balance here with the, or imbalance, with the power in the direction of Leo. But the idea of the whole being more powerful than the part and occupying a moral high ground, is before the consciousness of humanity, and at least symbolically in certain cases, certain infractions, incorrect behavior among individuals and nations are brought before what one day will be a more supreme authority. A certain relationship or configuration of stars of which one is the star Regulus suggests regulation in the heart of the lion, will bring about a situation wherein the orientation of the attitude of the legal profession will take place. Right now, it often defends selfishness. But can the legal profession begin to defend human welfare and not be bought by those who can buy? Sometimes I think our electoral system in the United States is being bought. Those who have the most money can buy the negative advertising which sways the emotions of the masses in a certain unintelligent direction. But anyway, a legal profession which becomes the guardian of society, which guards spiritual values, let us say, whatever tends to elevate the human being and the human race. The legal profession as the defender of what is right, what is spiritually lawful, divinely lawful, simply right in terms of the best human values. So, whatever Regulus may be related to, the star Regulus will be one. What other stars may be involved here, this is something for astrologers to ponder. Regulus in the constellation Leo, yes. And maybe we have to look for a star in the triangular constellation of Libra, perhaps. It used to be, I guess, the claws of the Scorpion, maybe not an independent constellation, now it is, and it is triangularly shaped. Will one of those stars be linked to Regulus? Obviously, there's a strongly Saturnian connection here. Saturn is said to be in detriment in Leo, but when we look at the triangle, which is Leo, Pisces, Capricorn, then we see that Saturn is a planet representing Leo. And Leo is a higher type of law. Saturn, the representative, the Great Bear, is involved in this. So the search for these sources, these causes, is a profound one. And I've seen personally that when Regulus is active, the life does come under a higher type of regulation. Leo and Saturn, and that descent of shambolic energy. It goes something like this, Great Bear, Leo, Saturn, Shambhala, head center, base of the spine center. I think that's the sixfold progression in that aspect of the triangle. Leo, it's Great Bear, Sirius, and Pleiades at the highest level. So there will be a reorientation of the attitude of the legal profession. Its functions and duties will be centralized, and there is Leo again, for the purpose of world usefulness. Its functions and duties. So what is just, what is right, what is fair, what truly and ultimately ascribes to the golden rule, these things will emerge, and those people who enter the profession will enter not simply for monetary purpose, but for selfless purpose, because they want to see the right expressed. And in this process, legislation for children will assume a great importance and be the motivating power, because children who are inherently weak because of their stage of unfoldment are victimized. We'd like to think this is not so, but there's a tremendous victimization going on of children, and it's so unjust. Again, the strong dominating the weak and not looking out for the welfare of the weak, and therefore not looking out for the future, because the future of the race depends, and the stamping out of crime, as he said, and the cultivation of the proper social conditions all depend upon the way in which children are raised. This legal step will be primarily, not solely, but primarily advocated by Russia and endorsed by the United States of America, both Aquarian soul nations, interestingly, and Russia having Leo as its personality sign, so maybe Regulus is involved here in some way. This legal step will be primarily advocated by Russia and endorsed by the United States. Before 2035 AD, such legislation will be universal in its sphere of influence and control. So it probably will emerge before 2035, if the timing here can be upheld with all the complications which have arisen since this was written, especially the complication of imminent self-destruction through misuse of atomic energy. Glamour plays a big role there, because people are willing to destroy a world they don't understand, hoping for a world their fantasy creates. So if it's going to be universal or global by 2035, then it certainly has to emerge before 2035, and maybe the emergence will follow 2025, by which time we hope for a great clarification. Maybe this sponsorship will occur around 2025. There was such a clearing after the Second World War, such an opportunity for humanity to take the necessary steps, but of course that was simply the second step of maybe a threefold process. So what the Christ said about the house being swept clean of devils, only to find it repopulated by even more, may be the condition in which we find ourselves now. But by the general clearing, which we can expect by 2025, a new vision for humanity, even stronger and fuller and more optimistic than the one which followed the Second World War, may indeed supervene. If we play our role correctly during the next 13 years or so, 12, 13 years before 2025, so much could go wrong in this time if selfishness is allowed to prevail. So humanity is indeed in the balances. All right, friends, we're right there at... So this is the end of Esoteric Astrology, 81A, Section A. And we are on page something. Page 238, possibly? I think so. Right before 239, yes. We're ending on page 238. And we will continue. Beginning, Esoteric Astrology Adventure 81, Section B, page 238, in just a few moments. Libra is so interesting, isn't it, really? He says, especially for those who are more fully developed and who see the implications and the importance of this great sign of decision, of peace, of right human relations, a sign which really leads to shambolic understanding and to the legislative application of the right within society. Okay, just a brief pause then.